Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the 31st day of October 2014. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with Ben Pruse from the Andersons at the Everly, Iowa facility near Spencer in the northwestern part of that state. And we'll discuss the very chilly weather conditions outside with climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute, Jim Angel, on this Friday afternoon as we make our way through the closing market report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. $3.76¾ the final trade in the December corn, up 2¾. The March at $3.89¼, 2¼ higher. And May futures at $3.98, up 2¼. July at $4.04¼, up 1¾. And December corn of next year at $4.18½, up 2¢ for the day. Soy complex, soybean futures now, nearby contract, November up 22¼, $10.46½ the final trade. January at $10.49¼, 19½ for the settlement price higher. March futures at $10.53¼, up 15½, and July at $10.62¾, up 14½¢. Next year's November at $10.27¼, up 15¼. Bean meal futures on the day up $9 at $389, and the bean oil 49¢ higher at $34.89. Live cattle futures on the afternoon finish the October 75¢ lower at $169.75, December at $166.25, down $1.07½ for the afternoon. Feeder cattle in the November were 37½¢ higher at $235.60. The January at $228.90, 42½ higher. And lean hogs on the day finished at $88.20, a dollar higher. And the February futures at $88.20 as well. They were up $1.25. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. We post all of our programming there, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, in its entirety, about 15 to 20 minutes after it airs on our radio stations at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract, $80.68, 44¢ lower for the day. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.52¼, that's 0.8¢ higher on the afternoon. And gasoline for the day at $2.17¼, down 0.2¢ in the RBOB wholesale price. Natural gas at $3.86½, 0.3¢ higher on the day. And ethanol futures in the nearby November were unchanged at $1.83¢. Dow Jones Industrial Average now about 165 points higher at 17,105, and the gold futures at $1,170 thereabouts, down $28.50. The dollar index at 87.02 is up 0.788 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of just 42 degrees. It'll be breezy on a north-northwest wind at about 26 miles an hour, gusting to 39. And then tonight, widespread frost again after 1 a.m. Otherwise, mostly clear, a low of 28. Blustery with a north-northwest wind at about 15 to 22. Winds will gust to 35 miles per hour this evening. Saturday, widespread frost before 10 in the morning. Otherwise, sunny with a high of 44 degrees. A north wind at 11 to 13, gusting to 17. Saturday night, clear. That means it'll be cold with a low around 28 degrees. A north wind at 5 to 7. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 49. Sunday evening, cloudy and 38. Monday, sunny and 59. Monday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 47 degrees. And Monday, or rather Tuesday, showers are likely with a high of 55. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and talk with Jim Angel.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the very 31st day of October. On the phone line with us to talk about the marketplace is Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Got all your kids all ready for trick-or-treating tonight, Mike?
Hey, Todd.
Yes?
Why do vampires read Dave's weekly copy?
I have no idea.
Because it has a great circulation.
Oh, Dave will appreciate that greatly.
Happy Halloween, Todd. Yes, we'll be going trick-or-treating. In fact, my oldest daughter is dressing up as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz in honor of our first year out here in Kansas.
Oh, congratulations. That'll be so very much fun. I suppose we probably better talk a little bit about
the marketplace, though.
So tell me about the way we ended the week in Chicago, what the weekly trades look like, what it might mean in the coming week. And we also ended the month as well.
Yeah, good point. The major takeaway, I think, from both this week and this month is that the grains are more balanced in price now. We're not just trading only the big supply, and we're not ignoring, I should say, the export demand. We're starting to factor that export demand in, and I think also we've seen those investment flows come in pretty nicely as we talked, you know, at the end of September. They were late coming in, but they came in nonetheless. And when I looked at the monthly numbers, the hogs were down 18%, crude oil down 12%, but you had the Bloomberg Grain Index up 14%. Leading that was meal coming in up 26% for the month, and then the beans right behind it at 14%. The sleeper in all this was the corn up 17% on the month. So I think what I would say at this stage going forward and heading into the November 10th report, and also as we head into the end of the U.S. harvest, Todd, is I think that the problem becomes at this stage that we need to keep the exports, and we don't want to ration any exports and any more exports than we already probably started to do, because our weekly numbers started to show that. And probably most disturbing to me is the inflationary indicators that I've been looking at and been talking about, that helping bring investment money into the agriculture sector and reallocation of assets. That's starting to weaken, and especially in light of Asia and a bigger threat of deflation there. So just to give you an idea, the Japanese yen has fallen 6.5% in the last 15 days. We are at a seven-year low, and that has pretty much happened in the last 2 weeks of this month. That, I think, has a ripple effect, a negative potential ripple effect in the investment side of the equation when it comes to the grain. So I'm not a buyer here. I think you got to go into the USDA crop report and the end of U.S. harvest, rewarding the market a little bit here, especially if you relied on cash sales.
Hey, Mike, I was thinking about some of this earlier in the week related to other issues, but about the 1990s, in the middle of the 1990s, when there was a lot of excitement in agriculture. We had a brand new farm bill. They thought China was just about to start to really purchase U.S. commodities. The Asian tigers were on fire. And then things folded in East Asia, and it took another decade before any of that really came back. Are you fearful at all at this point about the economies in East Asia? Are they doing well enough that we might be able to maintain the gains that have already been made?
I don't think they are at this stage, Todd. I think what the biggest problem we see now by the Bank of Japan just last night saying we're going to throw more money at this issue, commentators are already talking about the European Central Bank now needing to move in retaliation of that to try and weaken the euro against the yen. That's not my biggest concern. I think you nailed it with the Asian rim. The biggest problem we're going to face is that Japan and China start to work against each other, because essentially they're vying for the same exports. And unfortunately, China and their housing market has not been, it has been a strong enough negative influence on their GDP that they're looking now to have to go back to an export-led market. Well, that flies in the face of what Japan's trying to do. And so they could become, in terms of a currency war that we talked about in Latin America, six, eight, 9 months ago, we could start to see a currency war develop in Asia. That's where it would really hurt, I think, potentially our agriculture sector and set up a deflationary commodity environment. And I think the gold's already telling us that. I was very surprised to see the gold break as hard as it did. But when you see what the Bank of Japan did last night, it makes a lot of sense why the precious metal bulls are jumping for the exits right now. And so I'm not ready to sound alarm bells, but I think you're very wise in bringing up the 1990s in the idea that if we all can't play nice together on the board, then the board game's no good anymore, and when we all pay a price for that. And that's what I'm getting more nervous about in reaction to what the Bank of Japan did.
What's your thought process on soybeans and the price in that marketplace? It has jumped dramatically. That basically on, I think, a distribution problem with bean meal. Can it be maintained?
It cannot. I think this is where today I was on the phone with some more colleagues and contacts, and I was on the phone a lot this week with colleagues and contacts. And I think the bottom line for me is it looks as though you're seeing a double booking process occur by the processor. He's booking trucks now that he could not get the rail taken care of, and I've got that on from a couple different reliable sources. And whenever you double book freight and you essentially are double dipping, you put a false price in the market, and so that would lead me to think that this is not going to end well. I think the biggest thing that I saw this week that answered the question for me was that I had heard from a client that in eastern Indiana, basis was widening dramatically in soybeans to near 60 under, but yet 50 miles away from these locations that I was being told about in Decatur, Indiana, at the crusher, the basis was only 30 under. There should be no reason why the crusher cannot get beans, especially with bigger elevators that don't crush full. I think it really does become an issue where either the soy meal containers, the rail cars that load soy meal and soy oil out on at processors is the problem in terms of getting, or you do have a locomotive problem so that you can't get those spurs taken care of and get those processors filled with those cars. The secondary rail market's coming down dramatically from the last 4 weeks high, and so it's not necessarily a rail car issue at face value. It just says to me that the rationing of the export market could be coming, and also, at the same time, maybe the rationing of the livestock market, that the producers of pork and poultry are not going to really want to buy expensive meal, and they'll trim their weights at this stage of the game. So I don't like what's happening in the bean market right now.
Anything, speaking of livestock, that we ought to talk about on the cattle? Again, another $170 day.
Yeah, this is huge. I mean, you're at a record spread between cattle and hogs and lead month futures, trading over $80 a hundredweight. Your box beef prices for choice are running $260 again. Meanwhile, your pork cutout is managing about half that. And we're going into the ham seasonal and the turkey time period here. So my take would be that if the cattle continue to run higher, they're going to pull the hogs up with them. I think the more likely scenario is you'll see the hogs find some good cash seasonal support, but the cattle have a little bit more difficulty at this stage of the game.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
You betcha, sir. Have a good weekend.
Happy Halloween. Mike Zuzulo, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. We recorded Commodity Week by the Week on Thursday evening or yesterday afternoon. It's a really good one. Dale Dirkles is there along with Steve Erdman, who's the president at EFG. Ellen Dearden is along, and so is from Midco, Aaron Curtis. It'll come up immediately following this program on our home radio station, other radio stations tomorrow morning. Already online at willag.org if you'd like to take a listen at willag.org. Now here is the Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, a Republican from California, says the House soon will consider legislation that would require the Environmental Protection Agency to base its regulatory actions and rulemakings on scientific information that is publicly available and replicable. House Republicans have claimed that EPA uses non-public science information as it develops its regulations. The bill would require EPA to identify all scientific information used in the development of regulations. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that the next generation of U.S. farmers will face challenges such as adapting to climate change and finding ways to feed a growing world population. Speaking at the annual Future Farmers of America convention in Louisville, Kentucky, Vilsack pointed out the increasing median age of American farmers, resting at 58 in the most recent census of agriculture, making it imperative that the nation attracts and retains new farmers. CME Group says that upcoming repairs to a lock on the Illinois Waterway in South Chicago will not significantly disrupt deliveries of Chicago Board of Trade grain and oil seed futures. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will close the 64-year-old T.J. O'Brien Lock and Dam on the Cal-Sag Channel for two phases of repairs, beginning on November 3rd and again on January 19th. It is the northernmost of eight locks on the Illinois near the entrance to Lake Michigan. The exchange noted that the U.S. Coast Guard has proposed an alternative route to allow barges to load out grain from delivery facilities at Chicago and Burns Harbor, Indiana. In other CME Group news, its earnings rose 23% as trading volume picked up in the third quarter. CME Group posted a 12% increase in trading volume during the period, reflecting an average of about 13.5 million contracts a day. Overall, CME Group posted earnings of $290 million or 86 cents a share. AAA today says the national average price of gasoline has fallen 33 cents in October, landing today at $3, and it predicts that the cost of gasoline will soon dip under $3 for the first time in 4 years. AAA says the U.S. is on track for the lowest annual average gas price since 2010, and that the 2015 average is expected to be lower even still. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Have you purchased your tickets yet for the November 24th Farm Assets Conference? If not, do it right now at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 or online securely at willag.org. The program, of course, includes presentations on land values, what will happen to the price of farmland as commodity prices remain lower, crop insurance under the new farm bill. Gary Schnitke will be there to talk about SCO, and the ARC and PLC decision, of course, that you'll be making in the coming months. That with Jonathan Kappas. We'll have our corn, soybean, and cash grain panels as well with 14, count them, 14 of our regular on-air analysts. The program, again, is the Farm Assets Conference. It's the 24th day of November. The cost is just $25. Buy your ticket today at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Or securely online at willag.org for $25. You get the conference. Starts about 10 o'clock in the morning, runs till 5 in the evening. Parking and the meal are included. It's a great deal. So sign up today for the Farm Assets Conference. Well, like yesterday afternoon, a short news turnaround day for me. Just a few minutes ago in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences Library, the governor of the state of Illinois, Pat Quinn, announced a $3.5 million fund to build a brand new feed technology complex that will be integrated into the Agricultural South Farms here on campus, along with student life, research, and academia. I could let you listen to the governor, or to the president of the University of Illinois, Bob Easter, or to the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Bob Hauser, or to the department head of animal sciences, Steve Lurch. But honestly, the best comments of the day came from a student in agricultural finance, a junior here at the University of Illinois. Lucas Wright.
Well, good afternoon. I'm happy to provide some remarks on behalf of College of ACES students. And I think in any event like this, it would be appropriate to start out by highlighting President Draper's inscription on Davenport Hall. The wealth of Illinois lies in her soil, but its strength lies in its intelligent development. Today we celebrate an investment in both within the College of ACES. As a student here, there's no doubt that there's a strong appreciation towards classes inside instruction that have a vocational and real-world application. This timely investment will certainly provide such an opportunity for our students, and I'm extremely excited for my fellow students and faculty within ACES, because it's these types of activities that directly impact the uniqueness of our experiences for students to truly have world-class, hands-on training that will launch us into careers that will benefit both us and our state long-term. And really quick, just to wrap up here, it was 161 summers ago that Jonathan Baldwin Turner, a great agriculturalist of our state, was traveling all across Illinois and the Midwest, pioneering the idea of the land-grant university. You see, he truly believed that for our state to reach its abundant and economic potential, we had to take advantage of our fertile soils. And to do that, we needed to send our young farmers to learn about the sciences and more. So 161 summers ago at the Illinois State Fair, he gave one of his most famous speeches. Thousands were gathered, and he really spoke to this vision of the Illinois Industrial University. And he began each point by saying, "There's a good time coming." And then he would go on to say why we needed as citizens to call on our state legislators to call for this new type of education. And then he would say again, "There's a good time coming," and he would point to how this would add value, how this would impact the future of the state of Illinois. And then he finally closed. He said, he left kind of a call to action to the audience, leaving the ball in their court. He said, "There's a good time coming. Shall we play it well?" Here in the College of ACES, we have always believed that through agriculture, there is a good time coming. And you can be sure that with this investment, our students and faculty will play it well. Thank you.
Lucas Wright is studying agricultural finance at the University of Illinois. He made his comments in the Ag Library just a few minutes ago as it pertains to the new $3.5 million feed technology complex that will be built on the U of I's South Farms. The state-of-the-art complex will replace the university's century-old feed mill. The facility will give students and faculty the ability to process customized animal feeds and will support world-class research and educational programs in crop and animal sciences, nutrition, and food sciences at the university. The facility will be used to develop and test new technologies that can be applied to the manufacture of animal and human foods, and will support research on safe food production, animal nutrition, and sustainable livestock practices. The total estimated cost of the project is $13.3 million. Archer Daniels Midland Company has agreed to donate $1.5 million for the project. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Join us in just a bit. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Jim Angel will be here from the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute. Don't forget about Commodity Week. It comes up immediately following this program on our home radio station, on our website now at willag.org, and on many of these radio stations tomorrow morning. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This, of course, is Illinois Public Media.
It's All Hallows' Eve and National Caramel Apple Day. The invention of the caramel apple generally goes to Dan Walker, a sales representative for Kraft Foods. Legend has it that in the 1950s, Walker and his young son came up with the idea after buying a red candied apple made with a hard sugar coating. Walker discovered the key to getting the caramel to stick to the apples was adding a little water as the caramels are melted. On this day in agricultural history in 1731, Carl von Voigt was born, a German physiologist. His work on metabolism helped establish modern nutritional science. In 1920, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes handed down the decision for the Supreme Court, which upheld trademark violations for the Coca-Cola Company against the Coke Company of America. That's K-O-K-E. They argued that Coca-Cola should have changed its name after dropping cocaine from its formula, and that a picture of coca leaves and cola nuts on the bottle's label was misleading. The court disagreed. In 1981, Dunkin' Donuts opened its first store in Thailand. And in 2003, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration released a summary of a draft report concluding that cloned farm animals and their offspring pose little scientific risk to the food supply. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check the weather forecast on this Friday afternoon, All Hallows Eve coming up. That with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The preliminary numbers are in for October. The statewide average temperature was 54.2 degrees. That's 0.1 degrees above average. The October statewide precipitation was 4.5 inches, which is 1.2 inches above average. The largest rainfall totals were in the central third of the state, where 6 to 8 inches were common. Greenfield had an incredible 9.94 inches of rain for the month. Medora, Girard, and Carlinville also reported over 9 inches of rain. Rainfall totals were more moderate elsewhere, 4 to 6 inches in southern Illinois and 2 to 4 inches in northern Illinois. Also, several locations in northeast Illinois reported seeing traces of snow for the month. High pressure will dominate this weekend. Daytime highs on Saturday will be in the 40s, but warming a little on Sunday into the 40s and low 50s. Highs on Monday through Thursday will be in the 50s in northern and central Illinois and in the low 60s in southern Illinois. Nighttime lows will be in the 30s and 40s. Precipitation is expected to move into Illinois late Monday evening and remain through Wednesday with the next system. Precipitation amounts are expected to be in the range of half an inch to an inch. After that, no rain is in the forecast through next weekend. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks, of course, go to Jim Angel and all of the weather people that join us each and every day on the Closing Market Report. You can always hear them at the end of the program just as we close it out. No different today. Our program, including Jim Angel on Monday, of course, we talk with the folks at Earth Risk Technology, and on Tuesday, Don Day is here, Drew Lerner is here many days, and as well, we talk on Thursday afternoon with Mike Tenora. Some of the best weathermen in the business join us each and every day right here for agricultural programming that comes to you from the Closing Market Report. Stay with us if you can on our home radio station. Up next, Commodity Week. We recorded it yesterday afternoon, and it is a really good program. You'll hear the first half of it, but if you want to hear all of it, you'll need to go to willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. It's all posted there. Tomorrow morning, we'll run Commodity Week on many of these radio stations as well. One other item to remind you of, make sure you do purchase your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. 12 of our regular on-air analysts will join us to talk about the commodity markets, and we'll have special programs on the value of farmland. Bruce Sherrick from the U of I will be here. He runs the Center for Agricultural Farmland at the U of I's College of Agricultural Consumer and Environmental Sciences. Gary Schnitke will talk about the SCO program. That's the new supplemental coverage option program that's part of crop insurance under the ARC and PLC programs. Speaking of which, Jonathan Compass will be on hand for the Farm Assets Conference too. It's just $25 and he'll take up the ARC PLC decision many farmers will be making and landowners in the next 6 months. 800-898-1065 is the number to call or go to willag.org. That's W-I-L-L. AG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.